Take your Bible, if you would, and open to Galatians chapter number 5. We'll continue our study in the book of Galatians. Good to see you in the sanctuary tonight. Hope you had a good season of prayer, as our group did. It's always good to come together with the men of our group and share our request and our praise and have a good season of prayer together. We've been studying in the book of Galatians, and we've determined by our study that, without doubt, this book is written to churches there in Galatia, as Paul addressed them in chapter 1, people that a group of Judaizers, and we defined and helped you to understand that the Judaizers were those who were of the law, and they thought that that's the way righteousness and favor with God was gained, by keeping the law. And so they had come in after these people in Galatia had been saved, and they followed Paul. And actually, when you study the scripture, you'll find that there was a group that was always following grace preachers and trying to put people back under the law. By the way, that's still going on today. There's always a group of people who are trying to get us to get back up under the law. And the Bible calls that bondage. Bondage. Now, the reason that it's bondage is because you're not going to keep the law. And I'm not going to keep the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, and we've determined that. So Paul has said now that justification and righteousness in chapter 5, if you'll look in verse number 5 of chapter 5, he said, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And that's how righteousness comes, by faith. It's something that is imparted and that is imputed to us when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Righteousness cannot come by the law. In other words, we cannot gain a right standing before God by keeping the law, simply because, and it's not the law, that the law's not righteous. The law is righteous. It's just that the flesh is weak. And so in our weakness, we can't keep the righteous law. Now, the law was never given, and we've discussed this. It was never given that man might gain righteousness, that man might gain favor with God. The law was given to show us our need of God's grace. The law was given to show us the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, and that without something radical that God was going to do, that God and man was not going to be reconciled. And so the thing that God did to reconcile man back to himself did not begin with Moses in the Ten Commandments. It was before that. It did not even begin with Abraham when God went to the Ur of the Chaldees and called him out to birth a nation, the nation of Israel. It began with Adam when God went and he called unto him in the garden when Adam and Eve had sinned. And God went and he called unto him, "Adam, where art thou?" God went looking for Adam. Amen. You know, Adam didn't go looking for God. Man's still that way, aren't we? You know, we're still that way. We sin, and the flesh tries to get us to stay away from God. You know, stay away. Don't go. Stay away from church. Stay away from church people. Stay away from God. Stay away from the Bible. But I'm glad that God draws us. I'm glad that God is there, and he invites us to come. And just like God, the Father, sought Adam, I'm glad that Jesus, well, he said in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man cometh to seek and to save that which was lost." And I'm glad that I didn't find God. God found me. I know what people mean when they say that. Don't misunderstand me. I understand some people in their newfound faith talk about finding God. Well, I didn't find God, and you didn't either. God found you, and God found me, because God's the seeker. God's the seeker. You know, people talking about these seeking people, these seeking churches. Well, listen, that's God's the seeker. We're the sought after. And so we need to understand that. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this phrase, and we're going to move our way over to talking about the Spirit of God. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this phrase in verse number 1, where he said, "Stand fast, therefore." Because of what he's taught us. In chapter 1 and 2, he talked about his apostleship. And I like to say that's personal. And if you'll read chapter 1 and 2, there, listen, it's real easy to see that Paul's talking about his personal ministry. And then in chapter 3 and 4, Paul talks doctrinal. And he begins to talk about the law and faith and justification. He begins to talk about, and we looked at it, the latter part of verse number 4, the allegory, the history. And then he made a statement when he said in verse number 27, it is written of chapter 4. He says, it is written. And then he said again in chapter number 4, he said in verse number 22, it is written. And he says, I want to tell you about the history, what God has written, the historical word. I want to give you some doctrine. He gave us some doctrine about law and faith and grace and salvation. And now here in chapter 5 and 6, he goes from that which is personal to that which is doctrinal. And now he's going to say, and this is always, listen, this is important. And the Word of God always does this. Now it's time to make it practical. It's not enough that we know. You say, I talk to a lot of people, and you do too, who say, well, you know, I know this and I know that. And when you begin to talk with them about the Bible or doctrine, well, I know. They say, I know this and I know that. You know, God's not really interested. Now, listen to me carefully. God's not really interested in what we know. God's interested in what we're doing with what we know. Now, let me say that again, okay? Because there's a lot of people, there's a group of people out there who say, well, you know, I want a deeper life. And I believe we ought to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God wants to lead us from faith to faith, Romans 1. He wants to lead us to another level of faith. God wants us to grow and to have a deeper life and a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, just to have a knowledge in and of itself, Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, puffeth up. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So knowledge in and of itself really is not what we should be after. We should be after a knowledge that's going to bring about change. And the only way knowledge can bring change is when we make that knowledge active. We put it into practice in our life. So Paul goes from chapter 1 and 2 talking about personal, his personal ministry as an apostle, from the doctrinal to 3 and 4, and he said, now I want to help you make it practical, because it's not just enough to know what God says. Now that's the first step by all means. Now let's put it into use in our lives. So he said in verse number 1 of chapter 5, stand fast. This is what you can do now. This is what he said. Because of what I said, that's where the word therefore comes in. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, there's three things that this little section here in verses 1 through 6 that Paul addresses. He talks about liberty. And he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, that's legalism. All right? Don't let these people put you in and under the yoke of bondage. That's legalism. And then if you'll go over just for a moment and look with me in verse number 13, he talks about a license. Look at what he said. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now watch this phrase. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And so here's what he says. He says, now God has saved us, and he has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about this some on Sunday nights. The Spirit of God dwells in every believer. Now there are those who say, well, you know, you get saved, and then after a while of being saved, if you pray enough and someone prays over you, you can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. Well, I got to tell you now, that's not New Testament Christianity. Okay? The Bible says when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes and takes up presence in every believer. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, talks about us being the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in every believer there at the church of Corinth. Now imagine that. Every believer at the most carnal church that we have in the Bible, the church at Corinth. But yet every believer had the Holy Spirit. Now you have the Holy Spirit too if you're saved. Write this first scripture down, Romans 8, 9. This is what the Bible says. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man, Paul said, Romans 8, 9, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, which the Bible calls in 2 Peter chapter 1 the divine nature, then you're not saved. But when you get saved, we have become partakers, 2 Peter 1:4, of the divine nature, which is the Holy Spirit of God. You with me? If you're with me, say amen. The rest of you, just listen more carefully. Amen. I'm telling you, you as a believer, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a once and for all done deal, okay? That's not going to change. You have the Spirit of God. He is not going to leave you. He is not going to leave you. The indwelling Holy Spirit is never going to leave you, nor forsake you. Never going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, the Spirit of God has different ministries in our life, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But before I do, I want you to write down three words, and then we'll work our way up to verse number 16 of chapter 5. Number one, write this word down, legalism. Now, legalism really has nothing to do with living the Christian life. Legalism is really, by the Bible definition, is a group of people that says, in order for you to find favor with God and gain righteousness and a right standing before God, you have to keep a certain set of rules, the law. Well, that's not how you're saved. By the deeds of the law, Galatians 2:16, shall no flesh be justified. So that's legalism. But here what Paul was talking about is people who want to mix law and grace. Now remember that verse we looked at last week, Romans 11:6. It's either all of grace or it's none of grace. You can't mix law and grace. Listen, you add just one little bit of law to grace and it's no longer grace. Right? Remember that verse? Romans 11:6, very important. So here he said legalism. Legalism is extremism. Now what is legalism? Legalism is when a group of people have a set of do's and mainly it's don'ts. Usually legalism is don't. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Now, you say, well, you know, preacher, there's just some things Christian ought not to do. I'm glad you realize that. Because the Bible is certainly clear that there's things that Christians ought not to do. Say amen right there. Amen. But now, what a lot of people do, and what if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll put what we don't do above what we do. Now, I just believe there's things Christians ought not to do, and I believe that because the Bible teaches. See, I have convictions in my life. Now, I didn't get the convictions I have now. I've been saved over 30 years. And I didn't have the convictions I have now after I was saved 3 years. Somebody say amen with me now. And now, if you're not careful, you'll be saved 30, 35 years, and somebody will get saved and come to the church, and in 6 months, you'll wonder why they're not sharing the convictions you have. Now, you can hurt somebody that way. You be careful. That's like trying to feed a three-month-old a steak. Now, don't do that. Everybody can say amen right there. So I want them to have my convictions. No, let God give them Bible convictions. See, God will give people Bible convictions and standards. Biblical convictions and standards is a good thing. However, if we that have been saved for a long period of time are not careful, we'll be trying to enforce these on younger Christians that are young in the faith, and it's okay to bring them up, it's okay to teach them and to nurture them and to help them, but we don't want to get into weighing out if somebody's spiritual or not by what they don't do. Now let me give you an illustration. I believe I gave this last week. How many people in here do not smoke? Now everybody's going to raise their hand whether you smoke or not, but go ahead. Amen. Okay. Okay, we got a couple of women in here that smoke cigars, but, hey man, I hope not. Oh, no pipes and cigars, ladies. Listen, so you got people who go around and say, yeah, I don't smoke. You know what? You ought not smoke. That's right, you ought not to smoke. It's not only bad for you, it's a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony. You ought not smoke. But you know, I think I may have told you this. I had a dog one time. He didn't smoke. So don't think that you're all that because you don't smoke. My dog wasn't a good Christian. He didn't smoke. Now, I don't curse. I don't use that old language. We ought not use that language. Amen. But you know, my dog didn't either. So, you know, you have to be careful by thinking you're evaluating Christianity by a list of things you don't do. Now, don't you leave here and say, well, the preacher said it's all right for me to do anything. We're getting ready to address that here in just a moment. I'm just saying, be careful. Get you some biblical standards and convictions and stick with them. Amen. And don't expect everyone else to come alongside of you. Now, they may. And as people grow, they will begin to develop spirit-led, biblical-based standards and convictions. Everybody shake your head like, yeah, that's right, preacher. Amen. Right? Sure it is. Sure it is. All right, now, and then there's personal preference. And I'm even okay with that as long as you don't want your personal preference to be made mine. It's okay. If you want to part your hair from the back up, go with it. Amen? Go with it. But you come to me with that, and it's not going to fly. I'm just not going to make it happen, Brother Dan. It's not going to happen. So, you see what I'm saying? So here's what Paul's saying. You've got some liberty. But now that legalism, you got to be careful. Again, I'm not saying that a church ought not have standards. We have standards. And I'm not saying that a Christian ought not have convictions and stand on them, biblical. And it's okay even to have some preferences. That's okay. Stick with it. Amen. Just stand. But don't get legalistic about it. All right? Number two. Not only is there legalism, but Paul addresses here, and he addressed this legalism. He's been addressing this in chapter 3, 4, and he even gets over here in verse number 5. He begins to talk with them, and he tells them, look, don't let these people put you back under, the law. They want you to get circumcised. They want you to get circumcised. And he said, you know what? If they keep talking about the circumcision. If they want you to do that, then how about keeping the whole law? Because if you're going to do part of the law and you think that's going to benefit you, you've got to do it all. Because if you offend in one part of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. Didn't James teach that in James chapter 2? He did. That's what he said. Now, then you get over here to chapter number 5, verse number 13, and he begins to talk about what I'm going to call license. Okay? And so, whereas maybe legalism is an extreme on one end, then you have this license. You have these people say, hey, you know, I'm saved. It really doesn't matter how I live. My life doesn't affect anybody. If I want to do this, the preacher shouldn't tell me, and my parents shouldn't tell me, and other Christian brethren shouldn't tell me. I'll do what I want to do. I'm saved, and it's okay. Well, that's not okay. We're a part of a family. Amen. We're a part of the family of God. And what you do not only affects you and your family, but it affects me and my family because we are family. And what you do is a reflection of Fellowship Baptist Church. When you joined this church, you made a covenant with this church. Amen. That you were going to live a certain way and you were going to be faithful and you were going to be a witness for Christ. And when you're a poor witness and a bad testimony, it's a bad reflection on everybody here. And that ought to bother you. And it ought to bother me. And so Paul said here in verse number 13, he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. God gave you liberty, but now don't take that liberty and abuse it and pervert it, he says in verse number 13. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now, we have an Adamic nature, and Paul's leading up to what I want to talk to you, just to give you some back, a little foundation tonight, and we'll build on it possibly this Sunday night, the Lord willing, because I'm talking about the Spirit of God on Sunday nights, and I want to get into this a little deeper. This section here is really good teaching that I think will help us to understand why we do the things we don't want to do, and sometimes we don't do the things we want to do. There's a battle going on in us. And Paul said this in verse number 13. Notice what he said. For an occasion, and that word, a license to the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean my hands or the flesh? No, he's talking about the nature, the flesh nature. See, I have an old flesh nature. And my old flesh nature doesn't want to really, it really doesn't want anything to do with the Spirit of God. Spiritual things. My flesh. My flesh, it loves, it just desires the old things of this old carnal world. You say, well, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, I don't know why. Yours does too. Absolutely. So I can't help it. You know, I just like that music. Well, you know, everybody likes their own kind of music. I don't think I've ever met anybody that didn't like their own kind of music. There's a difference between liking it and listening to it. I just can't help it. You know, there's just some things that I feel like I got to do. Well, everybody feels that way. The flesh is drawn. Now, I want you to underline two phrases that's going to help you and going to help me. First of all, this is the first step. Look in verse number 16 where Paul said, "This I say then." He said, "I'm going to give you a way to where you won't fall under that legalism and where you won't fall under that license." All right? And he said, and here's the third word I want you to write down. Just write that first word down, legalism. So don't go around trying to enforce what you believe as far as how you ought to do things on other people. Teach them what the Scripture says and let God work in their heart, but don't cram it down their throat. And by the way, just because, let's just say, let me find somebody here. Stacy, let's just say Stacy smokes. Kind of looks like a smoker. And let's just say that I don't. And I find out Stacy smokes. All right? So I'm going to start acting different toward him. Well, you know, Stacy smokes. I'm better than him. And every time I get around Stacy, I want to bring up the fact that he smokes. And I want to beat him down because he smokes. Can I tell you, that is rotten, sinful. That's distasteful to God. That's distasteful to God. I ought to be encouraging this man. Listen, I ought to let him know I love him. Listen, he could be a two-packer a day and I'd still love him. Say amen right there. I'm not going to go buy him a pack, but I ought to love him. I ought to love him. He's my brother in Christ. And if we're not careful, we'll walk around. This legalistic group will walk around looking down their nose like, you know, I'm better than you. Why? Well, because I don't do this and you do. Oh, really? That makes you more spiritual than me. You need to grow up. Spiritually. We need some people to grow up spiritually and understand that because your list of don't do's is longer than somebody else's, that doesn't make you more spiritual than them necessarily. Somebody say amen with me now. And again, don't take me wrong now. Don't you leave here and say, man, preacher, set me free. I'm going to go out and I have liberty to sin. No, you have liberty to serve. You pray for him. You see, there might have been a day you was a two-packer. God delivered you. And he's struggling with that, but you're struggling somewhere else. We all struggle with sin. Don't we, brethren? Come on now. We all do. That doesn't make it okay, but it makes it reality. And it makes us to where we ought to do this. Here's my third word, okay? Legalism, license, love. Look at what he said here in verse number 13. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh or to feed that old Adamic nature, but by love serve one another." Instead of beating each other down with legalism or jumping in a ditch together in the old mud together through license, by love serve one another, encourage one another, provoke one another to love and to good works. Amen. That's where it's at. That's what's going to help us be a good, strong church. It's going to help us to grow. It's going to help us to be accountable. It's going to help us to be there to encourage the brethren. And so Paul then begins to say in verse number 14, he said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So now, the next time that you think you've got one up on your brother or your sister in Christ, because you added one more don't do on your list and they have, you remember this. It's by love that you serve one another. Don't determine how spiritual you are. Listen, I'd rather determine how spiritual I was by the things I did versus the things I didn't do. So let's take a little inventory and then we'll get to verse number 16. All right, so here's the side of don't do. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I cuss a little bit. No, I'm just making sure you're listening. Amen. I don't curse. Don't do drugs. I don't know. I'm faithful to my wife. I'm faithful to my family. Well, that's do's. Let's get some. I said don'ts. Somebody else, give me some don'ts. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. So I got this long list, all right, of don't do's. How many of you know, and I want you to be honest with me now, how many of you know have ever met a good Mormon? Raise your hand. Probably we could write their name above that and you would say, yep, that's it. They're good moral people. Hey, can I tell you, moral is not always spiritual. So we get them mixed up. And if you're not careful, when you get that list of don'ts, your life and it'll all go toward moral, and there'll be no spiritual there. God wants us to be spiritual. Listen to me now. Spiritual. The only way I'm going to be spiritual is to be filled with the Spirit and do some things for the Spirit of Christ and the kingdom of God. So how am I going to do that? Well, it's going to be by what I do. I cannot lie. That's not necessarily spiritual. But I am, by using the same tongue that I'm not going to lie, I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to encourage a brother. I'm going to witness. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. See, now I've gone from moral to spiritual. You with me, right? And so instead of building your I don't do list, and again, don't misunderstand me. Have a don't do. Go, listen, God has some don't do's. Amen. Thou shalt not. God has some, and you should have some, and we all should have some. But don't build your spiritual life there. Get over into what you do. What are you doing? See, all negative is no power. To get power, you got to have negative and positive. And then you've got power. It takes negative and positive to bring power, brethren. And so God help us not to get so caught up in that legalism or so caught up in that license. But here it is. It's love. It's love. And now, here's a phrase I want you to underline. Look at verse number 16. So there's your three words. Legalism. Nope, that's not going to help you. License. Nope, don't think you can live any way you want. Listen, by the way, if I claim to be saved and there was no change in my life, I would be very concerned about my eternal destiny. Very concerned. Because every person that's been saved is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Every person, there's change. Some of it may not come as rapid as others, but change comes with conversion. When we get to verse 16, look at this phrase. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not feel. Now here's the phrase I want you to underline or highlight. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's what the apostle's teaching here. There are desires that are part of this old Adamic nature. Desires. And they are in every one of us. And if they are not stifled, if they are not held down, if they are not denied, then they're going to come out. And those desires, those lusts of the flesh are going to become, look at verse number 19, the works of the flesh. You see that? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. So here's what the Apostle Paul said. It all begins with the lust of the flesh. You remember, when I was reading these scriptures, I thought about one individual, and that was Amnon. Amnon was thinking about what he could do to Tamar. And he said, he just couldn't bring himself to do it. But it was a lust of the flesh. However, he had a friend by the name of Jonadab. And you know the story. Who helped him to let out that lust, not to suppress it and not to confess it and not to get victory over it. And so that lust, that passion, that desire became an action. It became something that was brought forth into action and became a work of the flesh. And so Paul said, listen, the time to deal with sin is in the desire stage and not after it becomes evolved into the work stage. You with me? You see what I'm saying? We all have desires and passions, and they're wrong. Listen, all of us have wrong desires and passions. Now, how does that happen? Well, because Satan tries to take what God has given us as a liberty and try to tell us it's okay to do the right thing, but in the wrong way. Right? Well, let me just give you one example, and then I'll give you something I'm going to close tonight. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he gives us 17 things that are brought out in the flesh. Now, Paul is not writing. Now, listen to me very carefully now. He's not writing to the Skid Row, red light district, low living dregs. He's writing to the churches of Galatia. How many of you remember that? Yes, he's writing to the church. And so what he's saying, hey, listen, if you don't get a hold of that flesh, it's going to break out on you, and there's no telling what you won't do and will do. Amen. So don't scratch your head and say, wow, wonder why he done that. Well, because he's a sinner like you are. That's why. We act surprised when sinners sin. What's wrong with us? Come on now. And so he said, now the works of the flesh are these. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which were these? Adultery. And he begins to deal with sensual sin. And we'll talk about these in detail at another time. Look at that word adultery. Now, somebody, and you can even look at the next one, fornication. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of those, listen, deal with sensual nature. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. But now listen to me. People would look at that, and then somebody gets up and they say, sex. No! He said that three-letter word in church. Hey, sex is not a bad word. Are you serious? We're adults. God blessed the act of marriage. Amen. God gave that. And God blessed it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Right? So, there is a desire that God has placed in every man and every woman, and that desire is to bring sexual fulfillment and to have sexual fulfillment. Now, what does the devil do? The devil says, well, you know, it's okay for you to fulfill that desire in a wrong way. No, it's not. That's called adultery. So now we got this group of people running around saying, we know God made us to fulfill our passions, and God made us to do this. Yeah, God made you to do it, but in the bonds of holy matrimony. Say amen now. We got folks living together out of wedlock saying, well, it's okay. It's not okay. It's never been okay, and it's never going to be okay. It's sin. We got folks that think, well, you know, I can have sex before marriage. Everybody's doing it, and there's obviously nothing wrong with it. It's sin against God, brethren. Where have our scruples, our ethics? Where is righteousness gone? This is wrong. So it's not okay. Yet, when a man and a woman come together in the bonds of holy matrimony, and they come together to fulfill the passion that God has placed in them, there's nothing more right under God's heaven than that. Now listen to me. This is God's way. So, he said in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now from verse 16, that first word, use of their spirit, all the way through verse number 26, the word spirit is used seven times. Why? Because he's the key. The only way that I am going to have victory over this old flesh, I'm telling you, brethren, I used to think when I was a young preacher, I used to think, you know, old sister Tattletale, you know, she's the member that gives me the most problem. Or old brother Know-It-All, he's the member that gives me the most problem. You know the member that gives me the most problem? Me. And I mean that. I could go through the entire church directory and some that are not in there, and I could, without, listen, it wouldn't take me a moment's time to know, yep, I am my own worst problem. I'm a bigger problem to me than any of you put together. and then some. But you're your own worst problem too. We've got, listen, we have this enemy that we don't like to talk about a whole lot. Man, somebody get talking about the devil being our enemy and we'll turn cartwheels. Somebody talk about this old carnal world we live in that's going the way of Antichrist and we'll shout hallelujah. But somebody get talking about you being your problem and we get real quiet. But we're a bad problem for ourselves. And Paul said, I want to talk to you about it. Because you can have victory. There is no need than us going through life living a defeated Christian life. And he said, I want to tell you how to do it. I'll close with this. This I say then, I want to give you the answer, Paul said. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, either that's so or it's not. You say, well, we need to break out a Greek lexicon and find out what that means. It means what it says. If you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in accordance to this word, if we follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit, if we are in tune with what God is saying to us, if we are dialed in to God's will for our life, if we are following the Lord in our life, the Bible clearly promises right here that we are not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Therefore, the lust of the flesh will not become, in verse number 19, the works of the flesh. And so I won't ever have to worry about somebody saying, well, you know, the preacher fell into adultery. Or the preacher's involved in idolatry. Or the preacher's involved in murders and drunkenness and revelings. If I will walk in the Spirit. Now, if I don't walk in the Spirit, and if you don't walk in the Spirit, there's no guarantee what you and I may fall into. Because left to ourselves, we're not very good people. And so it's very important. One final thing. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are, and I want you to circle or underline that word, contrary. One to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, how many of you know what it is to have a battle going on? And you ever see these old cartoons, these old Warner Brother cartoons, and there's a little devil pops up on one shoulder, and, you know, ah, go ahead, you know, do it. It doesn't matter. And then there's this little angel that pops up on another shoulder and says, oh, don't do that, you know. Well, I'm not saying that's what happens in your life, but something very similar takes place. The flesh is saying, ah, you don't have to worry about that. Just go ahead, you know. Just plunge. Who will know? Take one peek. A little pornography never hurt no one. A little drink never hurt no one. A little drag never hurt no one. A little party never killed nobody. But there is the Spirit of God inside saying, oh, no, no, refrain from that. Get away from that. Flee youthful lust. Get away from that. Turn from that. Get away. Right? That battle goes on daily in our lives. Do it, don't do it. Do it, don't do it. Therefore, we end up like Paul. The things that I would do, I don't. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever got to a point in your life where you just say, oh, my, I am so wretched. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank my Lord through Christ Jesus. See, that's the answer. It's the Holy Spirit. And next, the Lord willing, Sunday night, I want to talk to you and get into this in detail. How can we walk in the Spirit? If you look at that, we walk in the Spirit. We're led of the Spirit. Amen? We're filled with the Spirit. When you look in that section of Scripture, the Spirit is controlling our lives. And when the Spirit controls our lives, we're doing things that exalt Jesus. We die to self and exalt Jesus. That's why Paul could write in chapter 2 of this same book of Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How about you? How about you? Who's really living? You know, we talk about doing the work of God. And I don't want to get technical here, but God doesn't want me to do His work. God wants to do His work through me. God says, Dale Freeman, are you willing to die so I can do my work through you? And God wants to know if you're willing to do that too. Are you willing to die so God can do His work through you? God has a work to do. And He's looking for somebody to do it through. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to die daily? Are you willing to crucify yourself so that Christ may live through you and complete the work of saving people, of growing people, of helping people? Let's all stand. The law can't do it.